You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Here we are. It all comes down to this. And you always just sort of had that feeling, didn't you, Brain, that it was always going to come down to this game, to Week 18, Bills at Dolphins, and that was going to be what it all came down to. And it was going to be the winner of that game was going to be the team that came out of the AFCs. It just seemed to feel like it was always coming to this. And in spite of it feels like hundreds of close misses that have happened this season that would have prevented this game from being the showdown that it is. We're still there. Because had the Dolphins not blown a 14-point fourth quarter lead to the Tennessee Titans, they'd be the AFC East champions and they'd be resting all of their players this week. If Kadarius Toney had not lined up offsides in that game against the Bills, the Chiefs would have won that game and the Dolphins would be AFC East champions. Of course, we'd still be looking at a situation where the 2 seed was up for grabs if that were the case. If Chris Godwin catches a Hail Mary at the end of the game, the Bills are out of the running. If the Giants convert a play at the end of the game, if the Chargers hold on at the end of the game, the Bills lose. There's so many of these little close calls throughout the course of the season that could have prevented this from being the moment. But if ifs and buts were, I don't know, remember the rest of that.
Candy and nuts. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, then we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Exactly. And if the queen had balls, she'd be the king.
There you go.
Is the other saying.
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is we're here. It's week 18. It's Dolphins. It's Bills. It's Hard Rock Stadium. It's Sunday Night Football. And the winner of this game is the number 2 seed in the AFC. Brain, it's the showdown that we've been waiting for.
Look, it's not exactly how we pictured getting here. When we did the preview show before the season started and we went through the schedule and made the predictions, I don't know if you exactly had it broken down like this, but I had the Dolphins coming into this game literally in the Bills position, coming into the game 10-6, Bills at 11-5, Dolphins winning the game to win the division. But it feels like it's all the momentum's going the other way. And it's the Dolphins that are sitting here at 11-5 and the Bills at 10-6. And you'd say, well, they're a game better than you thought they'd be. And if you'd have told me this at the beginning of the season, I would have said, yeah, I absolutely love it. But context matters. Where we're at right now, the vibes are not good. You can run through the laundry list of things that could have happened to eliminate the Bills from this situation, but I really only need one of 2 things. The game against the Chiefs that the Dolphins had an opportunity to win, and even more so than that, a 14-point lead with 3 minutes left against the Tennessee Titans a couple of weeks ago. If the Dolphins take care of their business, then it doesn't come down to this. But they want to do it the hard way. And this is going to be really, really hard because they have a lot of things stacked up against them due to all of the injuries that they're working through and working with right now. So much so that for a home game, for a team coming in with a worse record, the Dolphins, who, if they would have won last week, would have been the number one seed in the AFC, now have a home game against a team that may very well not make the playoffs and are 3-point underdogs.
Yeah, it tells you a lot that line is what it is. And the fact of the matter is the Dolphins are beat up, and the Dolphins are beat up in a big way. And we're eventually at the end of this season going to go back to the show that we did at the beginning of this season, where we said, where we listed five questions that the Dolphins are going to have to answer in the affirmative if they're going to have a successful season. And one of the big ones was, can they stay healthy? And I think anybody to a man, when you were talking about the Dolphins' health situation at the beginning of the season, everybody would have been looking at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, the quarterback position in terms of health has been the least of our worries this season, knock on wood. But everywhere else has been the issue. Losing your would have been Pro Bowl center, losing one of your guards in Isaiah Wynn, losing not one, but two of your premier pass rushers, losing a linebacker in Jerome Baker, who may in fact be back for this game, but losing him for a stretch, losing Javon Holland for a stretch, losing Xavien Howard perhaps for the rest of the season. Who knows? It's week to week, but who knows whether or not he'll... It sounds like he's not going to play on Sunday. Who knows if he'll be back for whatever the game is, wild card weekend. Fact is, the Dolphins are a beat-up team, and they are among the more beat-up teams in the league. And I know you could talk about it's a battle of attrition, a war of attrition in the NFL, and teams are all beat up this year. You know, they're all beat up around this time of year. But then you look across the field at the Buffalo Bills, and they're a team that actually seems to be, you know, in relatively speaking, in good health, particularly in comparison to the Miami Dolphins. I know they've lost a couple players for the year that are key, and they've got Von Miller, who was a signing, and he seems to be completely washed, but he's still there. You know, this is the Bills team that is healthier. You've got a Bills team that's on, what, a five-game winning streak coming into this game, where you have the Dolphins coming off their worst loss of the season. You have these two teams that seem to be going in opposite directions. It wasn't that long ago, Brian, that the Miami Dolphins had a three-game lead in the AFC East. And we were all celebrating because it was like, all we got to do is beat the Jets. It was the Titans. And I can't remember who the first, oh, it's the Commanders. It was Washington. Right. And all you had to do was beat those three teams and you'd win the division before that vital three-game stretch. Well, you drop that game to Tennessee. You went ahead and beat Dallas, which was impressive in its own right. But then you get stomped by Baltimore, and that leads you to this game, the make-or-break game that is really going to... Look, ultimately, this is not a do-or-die situation because we know for a fact that the Dolphins have a playoff game. But all you need to do is look at how different their potential road forward is in the different results of this game to know how important the game is. A win on Sunday, and you are facing the prospect of not one, but potentially two home playoff games with the possibility of a third home playoff game, because as it stands, the five seed is the Cleveland Browns, who is going to be going on the road either to Houston or Jacksonville to take on the... Well, I think maybe the Colts could win that division too. Do they still have a chance in there? Either way, you're going to have the winner of the AFC South hosting the Cleveland Browns in a game where weather is not going to be a factor. And the way the Cleveland Browns are playing, I find it very possible that the Cleveland Browns win that game and perhaps are the lowest seed left. So they're the seed. That's the team. They maybe go to Baltimore in the divisional round and knock off the Ravens. So maybe there's a world, if you're the two seed, that you could be playing three home playoff games. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Of course, if you lose this game, you find yourself as the sixth seed and you're traveling to Kansas City to take on Patrick Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in their stadium, a team that you've already lost to this season. So there's a lot riding on this one. Brain, it's kind of, I don't know, it's this weird thing where because of how the game played out last week and how that injury to Bradley Chubb played out, it feels like the vibes are particularly bad right now. But, I mean, there's also, you could look at it and go, it's Dolphins-Bills last week of the season. Wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, I think both things can be true. At the end of the day, you know, when we did our last show, I think what this team has shown us over the course of the season, over the course of multiple opportunities against really top-notch contenders, is that they're not quite on that level. I mean, and it's hard to see them getting to that level, being that they're now also dealing with so many injuries. So it's hard to see them somehow flipping that switch and figuring it out now. That said, I don't think you necessarily need to be a Super Bowl contender to win a home game against Buffalo. And so that's what we're talking about today. That's what they have the opportunity to do. And if they do that, they're going to win the division, which is a huge milestone for this team. They haven't won the division since 2008. They'll host a playoff game, which they haven't done since 2008. And they'll have an opportunity to win a playoff game, which they haven't done since 2000. So, you know, there's still a lot there that they can accomplish. And I think you just take it week to week. But I think that the expectation has changed. That said, if they lose this game, it's already a failure to have lost the division, regardless of context. You know, regardless of context, this team had the division. It was theirs to lose. And if they lose it, they will have lost it. Yes, Buffalo will have deserved credit for taking it, but Miami will have lost it probably even more than Buffalo earned it. And that's pretty much the Tennessee game. And if they lose this game, hell, even if they win this game, if this team does not win a playoff game, this season is an abject failure. Regardless of context, how they got there, you don't go into a season where you went all in with the expectation of making, at the very least, a deep run into the playoffs, and you can't even win a playoff game, which you haven't done as a franchise since 2000. That's the bare minimum for this season to be salvaged, in my opinion. And I don't even know how it's an opinion. Like, I think it's a fact at this point. I think anybody that follows this team in any kind of way, anybody that's on that team, anybody in that locker room, anybody in that front office, if this team does not win a playoff game, this season is an abject failure. And they will make it a lot harder to win a playoff game if they lose this game against Buffalo. But if they win this game against Buffalo, I like their chances, because if you can win a home game against Buffalo, then I think you can win a home game against whoever the hell it is, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Houston. I don't know if Pittsburgh could still get in the mix, whoever it is. Hell, even if it's Buffalo a second week in a row.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities that come this way. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the Dolphins know that they have to, or at least as far as I'm concerned, whether they win on Sunday or not, they still have to go out and win the next week. And that's the bottom line, because anything short of that is a failure, as far as I'm concerned. And there has been some buzz on the Twitter machine. By the way, if you're not following us already, this is a great time to remind you, make sure that you are following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm at Amplified to Rock. He's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Sam Old Dolphins. And there's been some buzz going around that about Mike McDaniel and Mike McDaniel's seat. If the Dolphins, you know, don't win a playoff game. And I sort of contributed to this debate a little bit, but basically what I said is Mike McDaniel is beyond the shadow of a doubt the head coach of the Miami Dolphins at the beginning of next season. He is absolutely beyond a shadow of the doubt the head coach of the Miami Dolphins at the end of next season, barring, you know, a disaster. If the team goes, you know, 0-10 or something like that, you know, it's a different conversation. At that point, all bets are off. But I find it highly unlikely that Mike McDaniel is not the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, even at the very end of next season. But saying that, I'm not terribly interested in the argument that this season is not a failure and that there won't be significant pressure on Mike McDaniel if the season ends without a playoff win. Because McDaniel would have known at the time that he was contracted to take over as the head coach, he would have looked at that roster that was put together and he would have said, it would have been very clear. This isn't a situation where you're taking, when we talked about it at the time, when Flores was fired, that the Dolphins, one of the things about the Dolphins' job that made it unattractive was that there was going to be pressure to win immediately. And so McDaniel, if he comes in and he completes two seasons where, regardless of the reason why, but the team finishes two seasons without a playoff win, the pressure on him to not only win a single game, but to make a deep run the following year is going to be off the charts. And what I said is that if there was this hypothetical third season that you went through and the Dolphins still hadn't won a playoff game, now you're having a conversation about whether or not this guy is the right guy for the job. That's where that conversation happens. Regardless of the culture that he's building, regardless of the vibes in the building, the fact is this roster and the way that it's constructed, this window is this season and next season for this team to really compete. And yes, you can play things, you can move things around and you can change it up and, you know, all of that is what it is. But the fact of the matter is this team has to win. And regardless of how good you perform in September and October, the fact of the matter is the best teams play their best football at this time of year. And there's still time for things to change, but this Miami Dolphins team has not played their best football of the season in December. The Washington game was their best game of the season. But since then, they haven't been playing their best football.
Yeah, well, and Washington's a dumpster fire. So what I'd say about, and like, as far as Mike McDaniel, like, you're right, he's 100% safe. Like, look, the most important thing that Mike McDaniel has done is that Mike McDaniel has come in and you suddenly have a franchise quarterback. And I suppose we could get into that argument, but I'm going to leave that until after this game on Sunday and probably in the off season when we talk about Tua and the contract extension and whether or not he's a franchise quarterback. Although I think it's asinine that we're even having that debate whether or not he's a franchise quarterback when he's clearly a franchise quarterback. He just may not be the MVP or a top five quarterback. But to me, if you're arguing between, well, is Tua a top five quarterback or a top 10 quarterback? It's a moot point. It doesn't matter. He's a franchise quarterback. You can win with him. And you can't say that without Mike McDaniel being here. When you look at the quarterback that he took over with his psyche essentially ruined by the previous quarter, by the previous coach in Brian Flores, for him to do that, rebuild this entire offense to the point where it's historically one of the best offenses in franchise history in a franchise that had years of Dan Marino. It's not a small feat that Mike McDaniel has managed here. Now, are there things about Mike McDaniel that need to get better as a head coach? Yeah, absolutely. And are there things that if he doesn't clean up are going to end up costing the Dolphins big games, not just more this year, but also potentially next season? Yes. And if the Dolphins do not win a playoff game, then yeah, his seat will be warm because there will be a lot of pressure on him. And the window argument about this team's winning window, I think it's valid. Now, what I'll say about this team's winning window is, look, I've been very outspoken about this team winning window to the point where I've said this is their best shot to win the Super Bowl is this season. I think they're kind of screwed right now because of everything that's happened. But this team next year, this roster is going to have some serious turnover. I mean, they are going to lose some serious talent. They're not going to have the money or the draft capital to really fix that in one offseason. So they're going to be a much more top heavy team next year. And they're not going to be a team that's built quite as well as this one to deal with the kinds of injuries that they've dealt with for the past two seasons. What I'll say is that after next season, they actually do have potentially a lot of relief coming to where they can kind of replenish the cupboard a little bit and extend that winning window to where it's probably a couple more years out, like 2 to 3 more years. But at that point, what you have to do to get to there is you have such an onus on this season and next season's offseason as far as the way you draft and the way you spend in free agency and the guys that you decide to bring back, that is very much in flux. That is a question. What I know is that this team, the way that it was built and constituted, was good enough. And that's me giving a lot of praise to Chris Greer, who I have criticized. I've made no bones about criticizing. Chris Greer, for the first time in his entire tenure here, I am going to sit here and I'm going to say, if the Dolphins fall short this season, it is not because of Chris Greer.
Oh, I can argue. I can offer up quite the counter argument to that. Because let me just say, I'll make an analogy, okay? And I made this analogy on Twitter. If you're building a race car, okay, and you build this car and you've got some nice brand new parts that you got from the auto parts store, okay, they're brand new, you got a really good deal on them, okay, but then there's some other parts that are used parts that you paid a lot of money for because those parts are known to really, really perform extremely well. They also come with a caveat that those parts do sometimes break down.
Which parts are those?
It doesn't matter.
Matter because which parts are those? Because if you're referring to Teron Armstead, well, if
I'm saying there are parts,
the reason why this team is falling apart. I mean, you're referring to Tyreek Hill. Well, if he doesn't go out and trade for Tyreek Hill, this team's not
winning a
Super Bowl. If they don't trade for Jalen Ramsey, this team's not winning a Super Bowl.
Brain, hold on. Let me finish. Okay. Part of the car is elite performance parts that work very, very well. Part of the car is parts that work really well, but you got a good deal on them because sometimes those parts break down. It's not one part, it's multiple parts. Okay. And you could say that there are multiple parts. One of them is a wheel. One of them is an axle. One of them is a belt in your engine. You know, there's different parts in different places, okay? But that you have that are of that level, that they perform really well, but they have a reputation for breaking down, okay? When you finish this car and it is operating at its full capacity, it runs like no other. And it is an unbelievable machine. It is a beautiful machine to behold. But a bunch of the parts that are vital to this machine running at full efficiency, are known to break down. And so sometimes this beautiful machine is going to break down. That is what the Miami Dolphins are. That is how Chris Greer has constructed this team. Chris Greer, I am Listen, he made the deals. He wheeled in deals to bring in all of these players, okay? They took advantage of Jalen Phillips falling in the draft. They took advantage of, of Teron Armstead being, you know, getting a cheaper deal on him. But in the process of getting these players, they are bringing in players with known injury histories. You know, these are players that are known to get injured or to break down. Okay. So when you bring in and you build a team that is made up of players that are known to break down, you can't be surprised when you get to this time of the year and not all of them, but a bunch of them have broken down. That's all I'm saying. I think it was clear to me that the way this team was built was a gamble that the players that we brought in are going to be healthy. And they're not going to break down. And that is not a statement about the toughness of any of those players or anything like that. But when you bring in players with injury histories, and it's not all of them. Some of it is bad luck. Okay? Some of it is bad luck. Tyreek Hill getting hurt at one point. That's bad luck. But Raheem Mostert is a player who throughout his entire career has done nothing but get hurt. Teron Armstead, his entire career has done nothing but get hurt. Jalen Waddle, as much as I love Jalen Waddle and as tough as he is, he's a player with an injury history. Tua Tagovailoa is a player with an injury history, and he's the one that's healthy right now. Okay. I'm not saying anything bad about these players other than the fact that it's known that these are guys that have a history of getting hurt. And when you build a team out of players like that, you can't be surprised when those players get hurt. That's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying is that if you want to blame Chris Greer for the strategy of building this team, and you would have rather him not gone out and made big time trades for known commodities or sign known commodities that maybe would have gotten, you know, that have this injury history, then what you would have done potentially is build a little bit more through the draft, build a stronger foundation, but you would not be in position to win a Super Bowl this year at all. Because this team would, you'd be talking about a much longer rebuild. And I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do it. What I'm saying is that the way this, and you'd have a much longer window at that point because you would have a stronger foundation, and then you can go out and you can add pieces to that foundation without mortgaging the future, which I think is typically the way that I would like them to do it. But there is more than one way to skin a cat. There is more than one way to build a Super Bowl champion. This team, I've been very critical of Chris Greer. I'm never going to be confused for a Chris Greer stan. I'm giving Chris Greer credit for the team that he has put together this season, which has universally been lauded as the best, most talented roster that the Miami Dolphins have had in at least 30 years. And because of that, if the Dolphins fall short this season, it is not Chris Greer's fault. Now, if the team in a few years from now is in salary cap hell and they never won anything because of it, and then we're lamenting the fact that we built such a small window, hey, that's where you can blame Chris Greer. But for this season alone, Chris Greer did a hell of a job putting a team together, and they just haven't been able to make it work. And some of it, and granted, it's not over yet. Some of it has been luck. Some of it has been, I think, the head coach being a little bit green. And some of it has been, frankly, players that we think are big-time players that are getting paid like big-time players and want to get paid like big-time players. And to this point, have just not stepped up enough in the big moments, which at its core is the real crux of the issue. Because we could talk about injuries and excuses, and every team has injuries. But at the end of the day, the teams that win the Super Bowl are the teams whose quarterbacks come up big in the big time games, whose Pro Bowl receivers don't drop touchdown passes and come up with big plays in the big games, And I'm not convinced that Tyreek Hill is not, hasn't been dealing with an injury, which isn't going to excuse him from dropping a touchdown, but may be part of the reason why his numbers have decreased pretty significantly since that Tennessee game. But also, you know, Christian Wilkins, like, biggest game of the year. You get overshadowed by Zach Sealer. Xavien Howard. Yeah, granted, you got injured, but there's been multiple games this season where Xavien Howard, you know, has had chances to make big time plays and has fallen short and, you know, hasn't necessarily played at a high level. You know, even Javon Holland last week, like, yeah, he came off of an injury. You know, he hadn't played in about a month, but he came out and he played. He didn't play very well. He played probably his worst game of the season. Granted, even with the fumble recovery, he was pretty bad last week. These are your big time players. These are your franchise cornerstones. And these are the guys that are falling short. It's no wonder you're falling short as a team.
Yeah. And that's what it's going to come down to. It was an excellent piece that Ty Dunn, he has a Substack called Go Long. And he wrote a column about the Miami Dolphins. And it's focused on how Mike McDaniel knows that this is the biggest game. And it basically comes down to it was a long, excellent read. I would suggest that anybody subscribe to Ty Dunn's Substack, Go Long. But basically what it came down to is the Miami Dolphins have to prove essentially that they are not the team that everybody thinks that they are. They are not the soft, non-physical team that crumples as soon as they go up against strong opposition. And you can say what you want that, you know, that's not who they are. But with the exception of that game against Dallas, this Dolphins team has fallen short against every single tough team that they've come up against. You know, those winning teams, those good teams, those contenders. Now, the Dolphins are faced with a unique situation with this Buffalo game because they've got yet another opportunity to prove that they can beat a good team. And if they fall short on Sunday, they actually still get another chance, right? So they're not done. The story, the book is not closed on the 2023 Miami Dolphins until they lose in the postseason, right? So they've got at least two more chances to prove that they can do it. But at the moment, you know, they've shown us who they are. They've shown us who they are when they have to go on the road in those big games. And they are a team that isn't capable of rising to the moment. That doesn't mean they're not going to be the next time that they have to do that. It just means to this point, they have not been. And that's why this game against Buffalo is particularly big, because that will delay potentially the Dolphins having to go on the road and play that tough road game for at least another couple of weeks. And that's, you know, assuming that the Dolphins don't fall on their sword and lose in their own ballpark. So let's get into this game against Buffalo, Brian, because the last time the Dolphins played the Bills, it was in Buffalo, week 4. They were coming off of a 70-20 victory over the Denver Broncos. And they proceeded to get blown out of the water in Buffalo, 48-20. And what's interesting is that that game against Buffalo has a lot of similarities with that game that the Dolphins just played against the Baltimore Ravens. It was a game that spiraled out of control very quickly, and the Dolphins seemed to panic trying to get themselves back into the game. And it was that panic that caused them to completely fall apart. And they, once they got to that game script where they were trying to play from behind, they just could not dig themselves out of that hole, because it seemed like the entire team went to panic stations and everything just started to snowball. And before you knew it, it was game over. Dolphins lost by 4 touchdowns. Similarly, that's what happened, I think, in this game against Baltimore. At a certain point, we got to that 2-minute warning and it was still a game, but then they're doing that hurry up. They run that play at the 2-minute warning, Tua throws that interception, and from there, it's just, they're off to the races. So the question is, Brent, Can the Dolphins in this game against Buffalo take control of the game, or at least keep the game in that place where, you know, they're not falling behind, where it's a game where they are playing their game as opposed to Buffalo's game? I guess that's the biggest question, and that's going to be the biggest key to winning this game for me.
I don't know what that means. Because, like, the way that I see this is, like, what is the Dolphins, like what is the Dolphins' way of playing? Like, what does that mean? Like, the Dolphins need to play their game. What does that mean? It needs to be up and down. It needs to be a shootout. Because that game against Buffalo, the first game against Buffalo, started as a shootout. Both teams went up and down the field scoring touchdowns until the Bills finally made a stop. And then the Dolphins couldn't stop anybody. And then before you knew it, we were down by three touchdowns.
Well, a big part of it is letting that run game inform what it is that they're doing on offense. Because when they're leaning into that run game, when they were leaning into the run game against Baltimore, it was working. When they were leaning into the run game against Buffalo, it was working. And then as soon as they get away from it, that's when it all falls apart.
Well, I agree, but I also disagree, because that's not why things fell apart. Because they got away from the running game in the first half against Baltimore because they were putting together a 3-minute drive, like at the end of the game. So they went into the path and they were moving the ball very well. And they had a very stupid decision where they decided to rush a play for no good reason. It was just a dumb decision and it ended up costing them. And then Baltimore ends up scoring a touchdown and then you get the ball back with like a minute and a half to go. So you're obviously desperate to try to score again. So you're not going to go run the ball a bunch. So when you talk about like the run pass discrepancy, the Dolphins didn't really abandon the running game. They just got away from it because of a very small window. The rest of the game, they actually tried to continue running the ball, but the defense made it very difficult for them to do that because they couldn't get a damn stop. Because every time Baltimore got the ball, they were driving down and scoring in like five plays.
So let's start there then.
So for me, it's like, what does it mean for the Dolphins to play their game? To me, it's not about, do the Dolphins play their game? Do the Bills play their game? The defense needs to step up and they need to play. Because if the defense doesn't show up, the game is over. It doesn't matter what the offense does, because if the defense is going to go out and they're going to give up 40 points, it's going to be very difficult. I think you're asking too much. I don't care who your quarterback is. If your defense plays like that, you're probably going to lose. If the defense plays a reasonable game, I think that the offense has enough to win this football game. I think it's, at the same time, I don't think it's a reasonable expectation with the injury to Bradley Chubb, with the injury to Xavien Howard, you're already without Jalen Phillips. I don't think it's a reasonable expectation to expect the Dolphins defense to go out there and pitch a shutout or really keep the Bills under 20 points. It would be amazing if they kept the Bills under 20 points in this game. If they do, I think that's a win. But if they can keep the Bills around 20 to 24 points, then what you've got here is, if the offense does their job, at the very least, you've got an opportunity to win this football game at the end. And I think that's what, as a Dolphin fan, we should be hoping for. We should be hoping that the defense gives them an opportunity so that Tua can win this football game. Because the defense needs to give them a chance. But if they're going to win this game with everything, with all of the injuries, this is a Tua game. Let's be honest about it. We got to run the football. Absolutely, we have to run the football. But if Tua goes out and plays a bad game, we are not going to win. If Tua plays a good game, I like our chances.
Yeah, I mean, there's every reason to believe that the Dolphins can win a game if Tua goes out there and plays a vintage Tua game. But I think you're right in that it does start with the defense in this game. And let's talk about that, because the last time these two teams faced off, the Dolphins did not have Jalen Ramsey. They did not have Deshaun Elliott either. And so without that key communication piece last time out, there was talk about, well, should Xavien Howard be shadowing Stephon Diggs? He did not. And in fact, it was Kader Kohou that was on Stephon Diggs for most of the game. And I think that was Diggs, if not his best. It was one of his best games of the season. He smoked Kader Kohou in that game. So there is, now we look at it, and we're not going to have Xavien Howard. We will have Deshaun Elliott. We will have Javon Holland. And we will have Jalen Ramsey. So the question is, do you let Jalen Ramsey shadow Stephon Diggs? Because when he has shadowed people in the past, like he shadowed Garrett Wilson in that game against the Jets, and it's a little bit of a different story because the Jets were getting completely inept quarterback play, and the Dolphins did have, you know, Bradley Chubb still in, and they were getting plenty of pressure. They were blowing through that Jets offensive line like nobody's business. But Garrett Wilson had a very quiet game. Stephon Diggs has had a very quiet several games. So do you put Jalen Ramsey on Stephon Diggs and just have him travel with Diggs the whole game? Do you put him on Gabe Davis, who is another guy that can blow up at any time? How do you slow down that Buffalo passing attack first? Because let's also remember that they also have Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid, these excellent tight ends who have proven that they can catch the ball underneath as well. And by the way, James Cook, who has become a big part of their offense, can catch balls out of the backfield as well.
Well, look, you've got to have an answer, but let's be realistic. The Bills' passing offense has been pretty bad even during this winning streak. What we're seeing is we've seen a philosophical change from the Bills. When they fired Ken Dorsey and they brought in Joey Brady, we're seeing a team that's more committed to running the ball, that's more committed to throwing screen passes, playing a lot more two tight ends, doing a lot of RPO. It's really almost a college offense. And I think on the one hand, it makes it a little easier to game plan against. It makes it easier to defend. I don't necessarily think you have to shadow Stephon Diggs with Jalen Ramsey, but I don't have a problem if they do it, because if you don't do it and then Stephon Diggs goes out and kills you, it's all we're going to talk about for the entire offseason. So, like, you tried playing back in coverage and not shadowing him the last game. Maybe you should just try something different, because, you know, you saw what it did the first time you played Buffalo. Then you didn't move Jalen Ramsey. Not that there would have been necessarily a guy to shadow on Baltimore, but you didn't move Jalen Ramsey against Baltimore, and Baltimore almost exclusively attacked the side that Jalen Ramsey was not on. So it might make sense to move Jalen Ramsey to at least make Buffalo try to get creative about what they're going to do and make them come off of their initial game plan. But at the end of the day, it's really not about stopping the pass at this point. It's about stopping the run, because the way to beat Buffalo right now is to stop the run. And that means stopping Cook. It means stopping Josh Allen. That's really what it comes down to. And if the Dolphins can stop the run, I like their chances to slow down this Buffalo offense.
Yeah, that's going to be a key, is slowing down that rushing attack, because it has been hefty, and they've been punching teams in the mouth with it. I mean, we saw what they did to the Cowboys. And now losing that exterior pressure with Bradley Chubb going down for the season, you want to talk about somebody who needs to have a huge game? Christian Wilkins. Christian Wilkins needs to have a huge game on Sunday. Zach Sealer needs to have a huge game on Sunday. And if those two guys can slow down that rushing attack, if they can try to make the Bills as one-dimensional as possible — they're never really truly going to be one-dimensional, because you've got Josh Allen, who's going to try to be the superhero. But if they can, here's the thing, is if you can shut down the run, you can force Josh Allen to try to be superhero MVP Josh that wants to take over the game, because it's when he gets into that mode that a lot of the time, that's when you see him start to glitch. That's when you see Josh Allen start to have those mental breakdowns and make those big mistakes. Now, for some reason, he has those meltdowns and those glitches against everybody except for the Dolphins. And then when he's up against the Dolphins, he's like playing like this incredible player that he has not been in the last, you know, month and a half of this season. So hopefully the Dolphins are able to come in and ensure that he does not turn back into superhero Josh Allen. Hopefully they can slow him down and make him glitch out. If that's something that they can do, if they can slow that Bills offense down and hold them to, like you said, 20 points, if you can hold the Bills to 20 points, if you can stop Josh Allen from rushing for, you know, 50, 60, 70 yards, you're going to be in with a shout in this game. I think if this is, I mean, the way to look at it is if you can keep this, if this can be a close game, I feel good about the Dolphins' chances in it. Let's talk about the other side of the ball. Dolphins' offense. Are we going to have Raheem Mostert? I don't know. Are we going to have Jaylen Waddle? Seems like probably not. It seems like I would, if I were betting, I would bet at this point as we're live Thursday night that we're not going to have either of those guys in this game. And so the Dolphins are once again going to have to rely on Tyreek Hill, Chase Claypool, Cedric Wilson, Braxton Berrios, the cast of characters, Chosen Anderson. We're going to be relying on them. We're going to be relying on Devon Achane, and we're going to be relying on Jeff Wilson. And then most importantly, we're going to be relying on Tua Tagovailoa. Now, it's possible we may get Rob Hunt back for this game. It sounds like that's trending in the right direction, which would be a huge boost to at least have that extra, you know, real starter, like first choice starter on the line for the Dolphins. But ultimately, how is this? I think the key to this game again is going to be running the ball and sticking to it. The Bills have proven that they're not the best team against the run. So whether it's the quick screens out to Achane and Hill or whoever it is, or whether it's, you know, finding those creative ways to run the ball, if you can commit to that, like I think if you can commit to that and make this a situation where you're not relying on Tua to carry the team and you're not relying on him to throw for 300 yards and multiple touchdowns, that's the ideal situation. The ideal situation is you put 175, 200 yards on the ground and can control the game that way. That, I think, is what you'd really like to see. But we know that, you know, Mike McDaniel sometimes can't help himself, and sometimes he likes to get super aggressive throwing the ball. And so the question is, if we think the Bills are going to do a lot of what the Ravens did last week, which was use those linebackers to drop into coverage and drop those linebackers back where they're playing these kind of light boxes and sort of baiting the Dolphins into running the ball. And then when the Dolphins decide to throw the ball, it's causing some chaos with Tua because he's having to throw the ball over those linebackers. Those linebackers are getting in the way where Tua is trying to throw into space. And it's, that has been something that has proven to be difficult for the Dolphins to overcome in the past. And I think if the Bills, you know, Sean McDermott is supposed to be this, you know, smart coach, right? The smart defensive coach. Is he going to make those adjustments to make this game difficult for Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, he's going to make adjustments, but he's not going to have Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. So he's
fair.
Not gonna,
fair point.
He's not going to be able to do that. He's not going to be able to play light boxes and drop. I mean, he'll play light boxes, but he's not going to be able to say, well, I've got Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, and I'm going to drop them deeper into coverage to make things really difficult. They did have a linebacker that could do that in Milano, but he went out. He's out for the year. He went out pretty early in the season. And since then, I think they've had to kind of adjust what they've done defensively. I think it was a big reason why they went into a losing skid when they did, is they were trying to kind of compensate and figure out what they had there. And as they've gotten healthier and they've figured out their personnel and they figured out, a way to stop turning the ball over on offense by leaning more heavily on their ground game, I think they've turned more into a team that I think is, on one hand, more playoff ready than they've probably been in years, but on the other hand, probably not as high a ceiling team as they've been in previous years. And so I think that this is a Bills team that's gaining in confidence, but they're not a dominant team right now. This is a team that's won four games in a row, but they've also struggled to win those games. And They've done it by playing really good defense, but they've done it against some offenses that have struggled. And this is going to be by far the most dynamic offense that they've faced. The way Buffalo is going to attack Miami is the way that they've attacked them and had success in the past, which is they're going to bring pressure on Tua Tagovailoa. They're going to be physical. They're not going to be afraid to bring extra rushers, and they're going to be aggressive. And the way that you beat that is by running the football and by screens and draws and making them slow down half a step and getting the ball out quickly. But in order to do that, at the same time, Buffalo is going to try to be physical with Miami's receivers. They're going to try to get them off their spot. They're going to try to make Tua get away from his first read. And if Jalen Waddle doesn't play, that means they're going to focus on trying to take Tyreek Hill out of the game. And Buffalo has actually effectively done that. I was listening to a podcast. I think it was the Locked On Dolphins podcast with Kyle, and he was doing his crossover episode with the guy from Buffalo, and he brought up a stat that Tyreek Hill has never had more than 70 yards receiving in a game against the Buffalo Bills. So the Bills, Sean McDermott, being that he is a defensive coach, he has had the recipe to contain Tyreek Hill. And if Jalen Waddle isn't playing, he's definitely going to try to take Tyreek Hill out of this game and make somebody else beat them. So I think the onus is on, can Tua find a, it's on Tua, it's on Mike McDaniel, it's on Achane, it's on the offensive line. I think having Bob Hunt come back in this game and having a healthy right side of the line would be huge, because maybe that enables you to get more of those big runs off the right side of your line with Hunt and Austin Jackson. Maybe you're able to, get a little bit more protection for Tua, and maybe you can, find some other guys to make some plays, scheme some throws open for a Braxton Berrios or a River Craycraft. Durham Smythe has continued to, when they need a play underneath, Durham Smythe the last couple of weeks has been very reliable. I think this is a game where you don't force feed Tyreek Hill. If Buffalo is going to say, we're going to take Tyreek Hill out of the game, you're going to scheme some touches for Tyreek Hill, but you also are going to make them rue that game plan. You have to make them, the way you get them out of that game plan is by getting first downs, moving the sticks, making them have to change that. And then when they do, picking your spots on when to hit Tyreek for the big play. But this has got to be a team win. It's going to have to be a good game plan. It's going to have to be great execution. But I think you're right. The run game is huge. But at the end of the day, you want your quarterback. You want to pay your quarterback to be the franchise guy. You want Tua to silence all the doubters. This is the game to do it. He didn't need to go out there and throw 350 yards and four touchdowns or anything crazy. But if he goes out there and he plays an efficient game and he throws two touchdowns and he doesn't turn the ball over and the Dolphins win, that's what you need. That's what we're asking for. If Tua can deliver that, then to me, he silences all the doubters. If there's any doubters at that point, they're never going to be silenced until he wins a Super Bowl. And you could just tune those people out. But if Tua plays well and the Dolphins win, that's all we need.
That is in fact all we need, is to get a big win in this game. I mean, getting a win in this game changes so much, because you're suddenly faced with, there's a possibility that you're facing Buffalo again the next week. And, that would be great. But there's also a situation where you're not facing Buffalo again at any point, because there's a world, and we'll know by kickoff what that world is. But there's a world where the Bills are out, that their season is over if the Dolphins win this game, right? If Pittsburgh beats Baltimore, and Baltimore is not starting Lamar Jackson on Sunday, it's Snoop Huntley going at QB for the Ravens. They're going to be resting a bunch of guys. The Steelers are playing for their playoff lives with Mason Rudolph, of all guys, you know, playing quarterback for them. If the Steelers win that game and the Jacksonville Jaguars defeat the Tennessee Titans, the Miami Dolphins would eliminate the Buffalo Bills, end their season on Sunday night with a win. I mean, I don't think there's a Dolphin fan anywhere on the planet that doesn't get goosebumps just thinking about that. Thinking about eliminating the Bills and making them ending their season without a playoff run. Oh, that would be sweet. But first, we got to get the win. So, Brain, it's time for our hashtag one hot take. This is where we ask you to share your one hot take for each Dolphins game. This is the last time we're going to do this for the regular season, Brain. So what is your hashtag one hot take for Bills Dolphins? Actually, before you give me your answer, everybody who's watching, whether you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page, the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, which you should be subscribed to, by the way, put a note in the comments. Let us know. What is your hashtag one hot take for Bills at Dolphins this Sunday? We want to know. I'll share some of those answers. If you're watching live, put them in the chat. And I'll share some of those answers here as we go through. But Brain, what is your hashtag one hot take for Bills at Dolphins this Sunday?
I don't want to steal your thunder or anything.
Okay.
But I think this is the week.
Uh-oh.
Alec Ingold receiving touchdown.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What am I?
I stole your thunder.
You stole my thunder. I don't know what I'm going to do here. This now I got to come up with a whole new take because this is, oh my goodness. All right.
Well, you want to steal my take from a couple weeks ago or was it last week? Christian Wilkins receiving touchdown?
No. I'm going to prey on that for a little bit, but let's see what the Twitter machine said. Dolphins Talk Mike says Mike McDaniel will win a challenge. Jorge GM says AVG will get two or more sacks on Allen. A take from Jason at Pug 1988 says first team to 24 points wins the game. I think that's not, I mean, I don't know that that's a hot take necessarily, but I think that makes a lot of sense to me. Here's one from Don Rago. Berrios scores a receiving touchdown. How about this one from Nick? Duke Riley gets some redemption and picks off Josh Allen. Let's see. Fins and Dogs 1984 says Miami wins by 10 or more points. Rob Hilbert says we will blow out the Bills, but then adds parenthetically, I don't believe this. Let's see. Semi says Ramsey will have a pick six. And let's see. This is a hot take from David Nastali. Dolphins will win the toss and accept the kickoff in the first half.
Not going to happen.
I like that. That's a good one. Let's see. The Bills, here's one from Bobby B. Bills go 1-for-18 on third and fourth down. Adam Mather says Allen has three picks and Bills fans turn that into him being the MVP. Here's one from The Keeper. Eli Apple picks off Josh Allen. Here's one from Johnny Ballgame. Josh Allen has four turnovers and the Dolphins still lose. Well, so that's some interesting ones there. Let's see what we've got here. In the chat, a handful of them here from Donnie Solanzo says 150 yards rushing and no turnovers. I'm assuming he means that from the Dolphins. From Zonko would run. Achan gets over 200 all-purpose yards and two touchdowns. Here's another one from Dolphineer. I think Allen throws a pick six to Ramsey and a sack fumble TD by AVG. Oh, if we can get a couple of defensive scores, that would be sweet. Here's one from Jordan Murray. Hot take, two touchdowns for Durham Smythe. Casey Messer says Dolphins rush for 200 yards and Cap for Life closes it off by saying 28-25 Miami. All right, it's time for my one hot take, and I was really excited to come back to for the final time this regular season the idea of the Alec Ingold receiving touchdown. But
you can do it.
No, it's no good if we have the same hot take that I think almost by necessity makes it not a hot take. So here's my hot take. Tua Tagovailoa rushing touchdowns in this game. How about that?
I love it.
How about that? All right. Final score predictions.
You should have doubled down like Mike. Alec Ingold, 2 receiving touchdowns.
Give me a break. Give me a break. If there were 2 Alec Ingold receiving touchdowns, I wouldn't be alive to see it because I think I would be so shocked by the first one. But let's get it. Let's get the score prediction here. Brain, what do you got? Let's get down to it. It's Dolphins. It's Bills. It's week 18. Can the Dolphins get the dub, win the AFC East for the first time in 15 years, and be the 2 seed in the AFC playoff bracket?
So I sat here after that Ravens game. We did a show. And I was resigned. And I said, you know, I can't keep putting my hopes in this team. I can't keep expecting this team to win. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, I'm not expecting them to win the Super Bowl. I'm just asking them to beat Buffalo at home one time. And I think there's a pathway to do it. And I think you're getting Robert Hunt healthy. I think that makes a difference. I believe that Tua will play well in this game. But I also really need to see this team prove it before I can really buy in that even they can win this game. Because this is exactly the type of game that they would lose based on everything that they've shown us that they are.
For decades.
And not just decades, this season. Like, that you've got the opportunity to win the division, put things away, and you're going to go up against a team that is, you know, a little bit more seasoned and physical and tougher and more physical than you. And, you know, by some people's, you know, metrics, a Super Bowl contender.
I feel like you are still debating what your prediction is going to be.
No, I'm not debating it. And that's the sad thing, because as much as I want the Dolphins to win this game and I want to be wrong, I just don't believe that they're going to win this week. I think that they're going to find a way to lose, whether it's the defense buckling at the end of the game or Tua having an inopportune turnover or dropping a touchdown at the wrong time or a bad play call. I just think this team's going to find a way to lose because that's what they do and that's who they've shown that they are. I want them to be wrong and I want this team to be different. But same old Dolphins until proven otherwise. Buffalo 27, Miami 24.
Wow. All right. Well, I hear that. I hear that. I understand it. I get it. And I'll be honest, I've had a lot of those same conversations. We said it. You know, that Baltimore game was as same old Dolphins as it gets. Big spot on the road. Come up short. Now, the one thing that this Dolphins team this year has shown us is that after they get bounced, they've always bounced back. In every time that they've taken a punch this season, they've turned it around and they've come back the next week and won. Now, granted, every time that they've done that this season, they were coming back and turning around and playing inferior opposition. This is a very different kind of test. Buffalo is a different kind of team. And, you know, even with the sputtering that they've been doing, and as they've been on this win streak, the Bills have certainly, they've been far from convincing. I mean, I think they've been far from convincing in most of their wins this season. But far from convincing matters not, because wins are wins. And they're still here. The Bills are still here, knowing that if they win this game, they are the AFC East champions for the, what, third year running?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth year running? So this is a tough test for the Miami Dolphins. And so it's going to, you know, there's a lot that is going to be proven in this game. They are either going to prove that they can be that physical team, that they can win that big game, that they can continue to bounce back from those tough defeats, or they won't. And they will prove that yet again, they are, in fact, the team that can't win the big one. They've done it one time against Dallas, and there are plenty of reasons to say, well, this is why that was the team that they did it against. So can they go in? I've been waffling back and forth, and I'm continuing to waffle back and forth right now. I'm prepared to make this prediction, but I said a few weeks ago, Bryn, that I was standing here like the great American rock band Creed with my arms wide open, ready to be hurt again. And I was. I was hurt badly by that Ravens game. So the important thing is, after that Ravens game, the question is, well, Josh, did you learn a lesson? And the answer to that question is, absolutely not. So the Miami Dolphins are going to come in to Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday night in front of the country, in front of the world. And they're going to bring in the Buffalo Bills, or, you know, like some people like to call them, the Barfalo Jills. The Dolphins are going into Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday night. It's not going to be pretty at all times. It's going to be tough. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be ugly. But at the end of the night, on Sunday night, your Miami Dolphins will be AFC East champions for the first time since 2008. They're going to win this game. They're going to win this game by a score of 31-17. 31-17. And they're going into the playoffs as the 2 seed, and the vibes are going to be good once again. And if they don't, they're just the same old Dolphins. Any parting words for the people?
I think you summed it up. Let's go. Like, I think there was a commenter in the chat here at some point that said, look, at the end of the day, this is nut up or shut up time. I don't know how to say it much better than that.
No,
that's what this team needs to do. They need to nut up or shut up.
That's exactly right. This is it. Nut up or shut up. I think we've got our episode title. There it is. There it is. Big game this Sunday. We're going to be back after the game. I'm going to be live with Mike from Dolphins Talk right here on the Dolphins Talk post-game wrap-up show. So you're going to get my instant reaction to this game. And I'm literally going to be watching this game in a bar in Central New York with one other Miami Dolphin fan and a bunch of Buffalo Bills fans. So if the Dolphins win, I'm going to be over the moon. If the Dolphins do not win, it's going to be the depths of despair, to quote Anne of Green Gables. I will be in the depths of despair. But let's get the win. Let's get the dub, and let's not worry about it. In the meantime, make sure you're following us at Amplify to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Make sure you're subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Make sure you like the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. Make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. We appreciate it very much. And we will see you. I'll see you Sunday night on the post-game wrap-up show. We'll see you Monday with the reaction show. And hopefully the vibes will be good again, and not bad vibes. Good vibes only, please. For the rest of the regular season, we got one game left. It's going to be a fun one. Hopefully, things will work out elsewhere, and we can eliminate the Bills from the postseason. That would be a beautiful thing. But until we meet again, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Just beat the Bills. Just beat the Bills.